patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
February 13th. Welcome to the walk-off. I'm Adam Mack, joined as, I can't say as always, but as regularly lately, Mr. Craig Ballard. Craig, how you doing, buddy?
Very well, thank you. Always a pleasure to be on the walk-off. You know that. And you'll notice that today, since we're going to be touching on Bo, I've got the Bo Flow headband on. Now, with me, it gets reduced to a No Flow headband, but still, I'm still going to say it counts.
I like
it. I'm looking forward to our conversation as per usual.
Very nice. All right. Before we get into it, I do got to shout out the Patreon, patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. We do trivia for our Patreon members every month. Congratulations to Ian, who won January's trivia night, got himself a nice fitted Blue Jays ball cap. Hopefully that arrives here in the next couple days. That was for Major League, the movie Major League. And this month, the people have voted and we're doing Moneyball. So I got a Moneyball trivia question for you, Craig. In the movie Moneyball, where did Peter Brand, played by Jonah Hill, go to school to study economics? It's a multiple choice question. Harvard, Yale, Stanford, or Cornell?
I don't even know a movie that I hated worse than Moneyball. So let's try, let's go Harvard.
Close, but no cigar. Yale is the correct answer.
Okay. So,
there you go. All right, let's get into this. All I really wanted to talk about today was this Bo Bichette 3-year deal. Now, obviously, this is news from last week. However, I did see you dip your toes into the comment section and voice that you maybe don't think this changes anything. And I just wanted to pick your brain on that and we can kind of go back and forth, because I think this is a big deal. And Yeah, I think this is a very encouraging sign for the relationship between the two sides. I think this changes a lot, in fact. So,
Whoa.
Okay, so this is why I wanted to have you on, Craig, because I know there's a lot of people who are in your camp on this matter. Obviously, I mean, from a technical standpoint, this is an extension, but from a practical standpoint, this does not push his free agency date back at all. Is that where you're coming from on this, where this is a non-factor for you? It's that simple?
Well, a few things, and this is the first time I've heard the walk-off refer to this as an extension, because that's where I want to start. This was absolutely not an extension, and I do think you pointed that out now. But right. Adam, other people aren't making the distinction that you just made. Other people are literally saying, look at that, the Blue Jays did come to an extension with Bo Bichette. Completely false. They did not even buy 5 more minutes of time with Bo Bichette.
The similarity here is with Matt Chapman. When we traded for Matt Chapman last offseason, and then we quote-unquote signed him to a 2-year extension, but we just bought out his arbitration years is all it was. There was two years left of arbitration. We're like, let's not dick around with the arbitration. Let's just, here's your money. And there you go. So same exact thing happened here.
So very important distinction. You've made it. Now I'm struggling to see what is there again. By rule, he was a Blue Jay for 3 years, whether he liked it or not. After this contract, he's a Blue Jay for 3 years, whether he likes it or not. Didn't even buy 5 more minutes of Bo Bichette. At the end of this contract, when it is time for that extension conversation, and you know, I'm on the record 2 years going now on walk-off that there is no extension for the Toronto Blue Jays and Bo Bichette. He is not going to be a long-term Blue Jay. It's not happening, and it's because of that relationship. What does this do to have anything to do to repair that relationship? Bo Bichette, the bad feelings that Bo had about how the Blue Jays ran their pre-arc all still exist. My question still remains unanswered of where the heck is Dante Bichette? That strife, seemingly, I don't have inside information on this, but that strife, because Dante Bichette seems to have become persona non grata around the Toronto Blue Jay organization. What's happened there? For the 3 seasons in a row, the Blue Jays have actively looked to move off of Bo Bichette at shortstop. Not move off of Bo Bichette, they would have put him to a different position, but actively looked for a different shortstop. What's going to happen, Adam Mack, despite the 3-year contract, if Bo Bichette in 2023 continues to be the human throwing error that he's been his entire career? Then, spoiler alert, For the fourth offseason in a row, the Toronto Blue Jays will look to move off of Bo Bichette at shortstop. This contract does nothing to solve any of those things. The small victory that I can meet you halfway is at least every season we don't have to hold our breath because, man, here comes the flipping battle royale. Oh, geez, they're Bo versus the Blue Jays round 2, 3, and 4 in arbitration. That I can give you a small on that, but everything else, I don't see how this takes away from any of that. And in fact, Adam Mack, couldn't we build a case that Bo Bichette just became more tradable because now he is a player that has cost certainty? All in fact, remember, Ronald Acuna rumors starting to circle now, Adam Mack. Aren't we right around the corner from seeing Bo Bichette for Acuna rumors start to pop up again?
No, yeah. I mean, yes, but no. Okay. So let's touch on that. I don't want to get too much into the Ronald Acuna Twitter rumors. The Bo Bichette cost certainty does make him more tradable. You're absolutely right about that. I was listening to Blair and Barker, and that was the point that they brought up, was that this definitely makes him a more appealing trade target for another team who no longer has to worry about, well, what's it going to cost us, right? We're going to trade them, but then how much? There's value in that for the Blue Jays. So that does, by definition, change things. So you kind of are making my point there that, yeah, this does change things. Not necessarily in terms of his relationship with the Blue Jays, but it changes things, the circumstances for the Blue Jays. The Dante Bichette stuff, I want to tread carefully here and just categorize that. And again, this part is my speculation that this may be a personality conflict. I don't think he's away from the team because he and Bo are frustrated with the money that Bo's getting paid. I think it would be other issues. I know there are reports from Dante, or from Bo's brother, of abuse in the family.
Yeah.
And knowing the way the Blue Jays don't mess around with any sort of allegations like that. If there is any meat on those bones, it is a decisive separation, right? We've seen that time and time again. We don't need to name all the players that they've done this with. Yeah. So I'm not saying that that is why, but when it's coming from Bo's brother, there's some credibility there to those accusations. So that could be enough for a reason why Dante Bichette isn't around anymore. As far as the money goes, I think Bo Bichette went from making $800,000 last year to over $6 million this year. I think that's going to do a lot for his happiness in the clubhouse. I think that for the last, 4 years, we've been speculating that how much is it going to cost the Blue Jays to sign Bo Bichette? Is a team-friendly deal on the table at all? And we've all kind of been in the corner that, look, Bo and Vlad are not going to take, I mean, you mentioned it off the top, Ronald Acuna Jr. deals, right? These are kids who come from wealthy backgrounds, right? Professional athlete backgrounds. They are not in a, for lack of a better word, desperate situation to jump at the first substantial offer they get. Where I'm taking the positivity out of this is that Bo Bichette left some money on the table for some immediate financial reward. Could we agree on that? That if he was to just see this arbitration, never mind like the rest of his career, but just if he was to see the arbitration process out and go year by year for the next 3 years, if he performed to the best of his abilities, we're talking September Bo for 3 straight seasons, right? This is the betting on himself best case scenario. The money would have been more than $33 million. Can we agree on that?
No, I don't know where you're getting that from, Adam. Arbitration would have been a significantly smaller amount. Arbitration has rules. You can only get certain percentage raises each year. Arbitration has rules built in.
Well, this is $33 million. The numbers on this are based on what Trey Turner got in a very similar situation, getting $42 million through the final 3 years of his arbitration.
Boy, I don't have a good answer for you on this one, Adam. We'd have to deep dive that. That doesn't seem right to me.
Well, this is, again, based on the precedent set, and I don't know what you're getting on percentage raise increases. My understanding of arbitration is that it's based on comparables, right? You take comparables. Here's a shortstop with similar numbers, similar age. This is what he got 3 years ago. This is what I'm asking for. That's my understanding. The other comparables, this is Andrew Stoughton compiled this list. So credit to him for doing my homework for me. Trey Turner, final 3 years of his arbitration, got $42 million. Carlos Correa and Javi Baez both got around $5 million at this point in their arbitration, and then had statistical, let's call them setbacks. Carlos Correa had missed time, which was a hindrance on his ability to capitalize on those arbitration dollars, and Javi Baez had performance regressions, let's call them.
Yeah.
So they each ended up getting around $25 million in the final 3 years of their arbitration, whereas Trey Turner continued to have the meteoric rise and maximized it at $42 million. So that's where, for me, it's a positive where they were able to split down the middle. $33 million with elevators. So I just look at this from a perspective of Bo having a mindset of like, yeah, if I bet on myself every year, I could get $42 million over the next 3 years. But I can guarantee that, where even if I do have a setback or if I do have a case of bad tacos, I'm mitigating some of that risk, right? That's something that I haven't seen any indication that he was open to that. So 3 years from now, maybe that's where I'm positive here, Craig, is that 3 years from now or 2 years from now or whenever it does come point to negotiate a decade-long deal or something that takes him well into his late 30s or whatever the case may be, right? Whether it's a 8-year deal or a 15-year deal or wherever, is that there may be a, let's not call it a hometown discount, but let's call it a lifelong security discount, right? Where maybe 280 over 10 years does appeal to him in a way I never would have thought, you know. Can you meet me halfway on that? Or
no, I was just going to say, like I said, that there are small, in my opinion, small, smaller things that you could get me to, positives that you could get me to see halfway. And I didn't have a good answer because I didn't have the numbers. You just said, hey, Andrew Stoughton's done the work for us. Here it is. So I do like that. I do like that. Adam Mack, the other side of the coin, what I would say is that's 3 years down the road. If that is now 6 years in a row where the Blue Jays have actively tried to move off from Bo at shortstop, then any of the goodwill that took place in February of 2023 is going to be neither here nor there. This is still 3 years of these two in bed together. And even if the relationship has improved, I don't think any of us can go so far as to say the relationship is downright good. So I'm still left with, where's the there? But I definitely will meet you halfway on that. You put out the numbers.
Okay, so hold on. Let me clarify something you just said. You're talking about in 3 years from now, we're potentially at a point where for 6 years in a row, the Blue Jays have been actively trying to move on at shortstop from Bo?
Yeah, exactly right. They've already.
So clarify that for me.
In the books. Well, it's already three. Sorry, in the last 3 years, they've already actively, every single offseason, the last 3 years, have actively looked for a new shortstop. Every single year.
I would push back on that because we signed Marcus Semien 2 years ago, actively got a shortstop, did not move on from Bo. I think that is very much counter to your point. So how do you explain that?
Great. You'd have to go back and look at all the shortstops they did flirt with, the Andrelton Simmons, all the shortstops that they did try to bring in to be the actual shortstop. That conversation with Marcus Semien from day one was to come be their second baseman. They were not looking for Marcus Semien. They were not looking for that one and done to move off from Bo. Imagine that, Adam Mack. Imagine how bad the relationship would be then if they moved Bo out of that position for 1 year for Semien, then Semien leaves. Holy cow, that would be even worse. And they did court several shortstops that offseason as well. Defensive specialists like Simmons, other ones as well, absolutely. Atkins has been open with this. Atkins has said, every year I'm in constant, and this is to your point, Adam, about how the relationship covered isn't bare, because Atkins has said every offseason, I'm in constant communication with Bo. I text him because I don't want him hearing, hey, they're looking at this shortstop. I want them hearing it from us. And every year, Atkins says, to Bo's credit, every time, Bo is just like, hey, if there's a deal out there that makes us a better team, you let me know what my new position is. So they have, Adam. They have been looking on. They have been looking on to move on. Again, from him, that's as a shortstop.
That's a sign not, that is a good relationship, head. Though. You just said that there's no indication it's a good. Okay, so I like that it is, you know, we're talking money here. We're getting. All right, we're getting.
Atkins going out of his way to say that. So, yes, Adam, that's to your point. Yes, I just don't think that these things are. Remember now, the one thing we haven't even brought up is Bo Bichette played purposely for $56,000 less last season because of how upset he was with the Blue Jays. Riddle me off the laundry list, Adam Mack, and I'll expand, never mind baseball, show me in sports the amount of athletes that purposely go out of their way to play for less money. You don't see it. So there's some there, Adam. When we talk about cracks in this relationship, there's some there. Again, we still don't have the answer to where's Dante.
One of the greatest Montreal Expos ever drafted took less money every year, and he has 7 Super Bowl rings.
Oh, my God.
There you go. We got there, Craig. We got there.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Hey, by the way, I'm a Miami Dolphin fan, so way too soon for any Tom Brady references, but it's your show. Okay, fine.
Hey, he's retired, so this should be a bittersweet celebration for you. All right, fair enough. Okay. I guess, is there anything else we're miles apart on then?
When it comes to I think
how do you think this affects the outlook with Vladdy and the relationship he has with the front office? Do you think there is a path forward where it, maybe in the next week or sometime this week, we hear a similar deal? Will Vlad get announced where the rest of his RB years get bought out, or does this open the door for them to now focus on something like actually long-term with Vlad? They go, okay, we got some security with Bo. Now let's get Vlad locked up 10 plus years. Or does this sour things because they...
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. I definitely don't think it sours things. There is no bit. I get how people's instinct is. I wonder how this will affect Vlad when they traded Teo, when they traded Lourdes. I submit to you, Adam Mack, and to the walk-off listeners and viewers here, there is nothing, there is no piece of business that will throw Slim Daddy Vladdy off of being Slim Daddy Vladdy. None. He grew up in baseball locker rooms. He saw the business of baseball. He saw it every day with his dad. How many times did Vlad come into the locker room, junior, with senior, looking for Uncle Juan, and dad had to tell him, oh, you know what? Uncle Juan actually got traded last night. Meet your new Uncle Rick. Here's your new Uncle Clyde. Here's your new Uncle Fred. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is 1,000% used to and has an understanding. I would submit to you that as much as any player in baseball, Vlad understands the business of baseball. Nothing is going to throw him off of this. And how does this affect his extension going forward? You bring up a good point because now they've got cost certainty with Bo. So maybe they can look for something with Vlad long term. I've always maintained that whatever the right thing to do with the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. extension is going to be, Shapiro and Atkins will be all over it. We talked 2 weeks ago on the walk-off that a lot of the Blue Jay fans seem to be acting like this is news to Shapiro and Atkins. Like, what? But Vlad's just not a Blue Jay for 10 years just because? What? We actually have to do this. What? Of course they know this. Of course they have a game plan for this. And to your point, perhaps this is one of the dominoes that needed to fall, a little bit of cost certainty with both arbitration over the next few years. So, will it affect it one way or the other? If it is going to affect it one way or the other, it's only going to be positive. Because again, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., man, he's as well-versed as anybody when it comes to the business of baseball.
I'm with you there. I got nothing else really to add, Craig. I think we, you know what? We were able to fill 20 minutes on a Monday in February. So thank you for that. You'll be back at the end of the month. We got Long Toss, February 26th. Awesome. For anybody new to the channel, that is a two-ish hour roundtable discussion. You'll be here. Scott will be back. Some more familiar faces, hopefully, as we approach the rapidly approaching spring training. We have some real news to talk about and some fun to speculate on. And we'll open the floor up for some more arguing between you and Joel, and me and Scott, and everything like that. So.
Okay.
All right, Craig, nice to see you again. Nice jersey. Love the no flow head rag there. Very nice. And we'll catch you on the next one. Cheers.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Adam. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.